listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. Yeah, I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the words. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
You're listening to Coleman's Live 95, WRJMLP Coleman. It's now time for This Week Live, a public affairs program which airs each Monday. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinion of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station. And now, here are your hosts for This Week Live, Melissa Silvey and Jay Fuller.
I'm afraid of Americans.
Hey, we're actually here today. I know everyone listening last week, they were like, wow, we have such good memories. We remember everything about this show from the week before. Even all the blunders.
It's like deja vu.
All over again. Hello, everybody. It's 2 o'clock on Monday. Welcome to This Week Live. This is a program that we try to do each and every week. Used to be between 4 and 6. A couple of schedule conflicts, which continued on into our lives. We moved it up a little bit. Now it's between 2 and 4, which I personally think is a pretty good time, you know. Lots of people lined up to get their kids from the middle school and the elementary school and the primary school, unless it's on a Wednesday, in which case you're home snowboarding.
You know what? This Wednesday we're expecting snow.
That's
as well.
That's what I've been hearing. And you and I haven't really had a chance to talk today because I've been out of town for a week, so I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And so I guess we're going to catch up on the show today. Hi, how you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Did you have a good birthday yesterday?
Yes.
Do you want me to sing happy birthday to you live on the air?
No.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Okay, well, anyway. So what's been happening?
Today, homework.
And last week?
Homework.
Where I was like 600 miles away hitting the roof and you're going, oh my god, we have a reaction!
Homework, snow.
Snow, homework, etc.
So that video is hit on Live 95's website because that video was pretty awesome.
Which video?
The drone video of the snow. In Coleman.
If it's not, it will be, say, after the first break.
All right. That was pretty awesome.
And that is one of the things that I have been totally amazed by in this community. You know, we're a small community. We're not a Chicago or a New York City. We're in backwoods Alabama. We don't know how to do anything here. And
do y'all wear shoes?
We have got some very talented people in this community. I mean, to be able to do... I actually saw two different drone vehicles. The military is here. Two different drones flying around filming the snowstorm that I was not even here to witness. But that's all right, because we're going to repeat this week, and I'll be here this week. So
exactly. Apparently, it's going to snow.
You keep talking. I'm going to open the blinds behind you.
It's going to snow, because I won't be able to see my screen.
There's no sun today.
Apparently it's going to snow all day Wednesday.
Okay, we'll leave the blinds shut.
Thank you for that.
Grumble. So anyway, we have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today. I have got some local topics, some statewide topics, some federal topics. We would invite you to participate in our show once we get it rolling. 256-737-9951. Because I'm sure, like everyone on all of those underground websites in Coleman, you have an opinion.
Yeah, if all the people who were on those websites called in, we would never be able to speak.
We would have a very active show.
We would. That would be fun. I would like to take one show where it just We had so many callers that, like, we wouldn't be able to talk at
all. We're trying to catch up with the sports show.
Yeah. That one day I did the sports show, it was like ring, 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 ring off the hook.
So I guess let me give some of the people who have just started flipping around and just found us while waiting in line to pick up their kids. All right, this is Live 95. We're coming up on 1 year old. And speaking of coming up on 1 year old, Melissa and I are planning quite a bash for 1 year old. We'll be talking about that as we get all the details worked out. But
oh yeah, if this goes as planned, it'll be a
night to remember. Yeah, a day and night to remember. About a year ago, I was approached by Jason Spiegel, local business owner and retired principal Ronnie Barnes, and they have been doing Sports Talk Live, I mean, even when there's not much to talk about, on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 4 and 6, so you should definitely tune in for that. They have quite a following. All of the shows are available on our website via demand, live95coleman.com.
They make me laugh out loud, even though they're talking about sports. They're hilarious.
I wasn't really all that into sports until, you know, I started engineering their show, and, you know, but I've talked a little more about it lately, so. Am I supposed to be highlighting this and making that available?
Not yet. We'll do
but
that.
But that's like the first one? Okay.
Well, no, maybe. I don't know.
Well, highlight the first one.
We'll decide at the break what we're going
to... Good to see you again. Haven't seen you in a week. We're doing show prep here on the air.
So, the first topic that I would like to talk about, and this is something that I have been waiting for.
Grumble.
To be able to say live on air, Jay Fuller, you were wrong. I was right.
Oh?
The FCC. That's been the topic.
No. That's their old name. Now they're known as the Department of the Internet.
The Department of the Internet. No. I read earlier the Department of ObamaNet. That's better.
Uh-huh.
You haven't read that one yet?
No.
ObamaNet. Yeah. Welcome to government control of every piece of your life. And speaking of which, weren't you the person who said to me once upon a time, I don't really care about the government because the government isn't involved in my everyday life.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Not. So you want me to rebut that, I take it.
You can't.
Looking at me with quite an interesting look there.
You can't rebut it. You said it, and I've been saying all along, you need to get more active in politics. You need to know what's happening. You need to pay attention to what everybody's saying about this administration, because this administration is paying attention to you.
Well, I believe one person can make a difference. I am one of several local owners of a broadband company, and we have been quite proactive in communicating with our representatives from Alabama. And industry-wide, for example, WISPA Wireless Internet Service Providers Association, we interface on many levels in many states.
Let's tell them what's going on first.
I'm giving a little background, but yeah, we're going to that.
Okay.
So, you know, we have been very active. I've personally been to Washington once, twice, I think, met with the representatives talking about things to come. You know, we're evaluating what's called spectrum policy. The same thing basically that Verizon and AT&T are looking at, you know, to provide wireless service. A little background, 4 years ago, I believe, Verizon Communications basically went up against the FCC. The FCC said, we're going to make everything on a level playing field. You can't do this, you can't do that. And part of the examples of the this and that, everyone's familiar with Netflix. That's like one of the most popular services on the internet right now. Comcast, I think it was, wanted to charge Netflix a little bit higher transport rates. So if you're on Comcast's network and you're going to Netflix, well, like they would give you... like the first, I'm going to use an interstate analogy, they would give you the first 10 miles for free, but then if you wanted to travel the next 100 miles on the interstate, well, you need to pay a little more for that. This didn't go over very well, and that the chairman of the FCC is actually a former cable guy, and he jumped all over it, and there was an initial ruling that came out that basically said, no, you can't do that. And Verizon sued the FCC in one of the government courts and said, you know, this is unlawful, you can't do this. The court actually ruled in Verizon's favor and said, hey, FCC, under your guidelines, you are not allowed to regulate what is known as an information service. And right now we are regulating the internet. We're calling the internet an information service, so FCC, hands off. What did the FCC do? That wasn't good enough for them. And they actually got their line directly from Mr. President Barack Obama, who came out about November time frame and said, I believe we should reclassify internet as a utility. Well, if they were to reclassify the internet as a utility, that was designed to...
Sorry about that.
Watching Disney movies over there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let it go.
The FCC reclassified the internet as a utility based on a suggestion from President Obama. And because they are considering reclassifying it as a utility, then that would give them the authority to go back in and regulate it however they wanted to do.
Hasn't that already been done? Hasn't it been?
Well, that was a suggestion made by President Obama back, I believe, in November. So, you know, that made the news first. And then let me give you a little background on the FCC. So there are five commissioners. Two of them are Republican, three of them are Democrat. Every vote that I can remember for as far back as I can remember has been straight down party lines. You can imagine how that goes. Well, one of the two Republican commissioners came out and said, oh, by the way, now we have this, and I'm guessing the number, but I think it's about 372 pages. Now we have this 372-page suggestion from the White House, and by the way, this is what you should pass to enforce net neutrality. Oh, and by the way, while you're at it, this is classified. You can't release this to the public until after you voted on it. Sound familiar?
You have to vote for it to know what's in it.
Thanks, Nancy Pelosi. So, this basically just sent the Republican commissioner. His name is Pye. The other Republican commissioner's name is O'Reilly. It sent them over the roof. I mean, they're just having a cow. You know, releasing tweet statements. You know, it's horrible what is in this thing. Every now and then they would release a couple of statements, you know, about what they find in it and what is horrible about it. But basically it's going to burden all of the small providers.
So if Congress votes for this...
Congress has nothing to do with it. It's all the FCC.
Oh.
Yep. Now, there was another bill trying to be passed through from Congress that if Congress had passed it first, then yes, it would override the FCC law. But Congress did not get it through fast enough.
Did Harry Reid stop it?
They basically just could not get enough clout, you know, couldn't agree on enough whatever.
So what you're saying is the Republicans are against it and the Democrats are for it. The Democrats did hold both House and Senate at the time. So the Democrats must have tabled it.
It never made it to where they had enough party votes on one side or the other to actually do anything. I got distracted because I know I need something to read, and it's going to take me a minute to find it. So
basically, the point of that 5-minute spiel that Mr. Fuller just gave you.
And I'm not done.
Was
this is my intermission?
That I was right.
Oh,
the government can get their fingers into any tiny piece of your life they want to, and with this administration, they want to be in every part of your life, whether it's the internet that you use, your health care that you buy.
What makes you think it's going to stop with me? I'm a transparent entity. So what happens to me if they pass all this regulation, what am I required to do? I'm going to have to pass it to all of my customers. I mean, it's not coming out of my pocket.
If you keep
your business. You expect me to take a pay cut out of this?
If they allow you to keep your business.
Well, we'll lose customers because, you know what, they're not going to like seeing these additional fees that they never got from us in the last 10 years of business. But now all of a sudden when they see the FCC regulatory recovery fee, they're not going to like that. And it's not going to be just my bill. It's going to be your Verizon Wireless bill, your AT&T bill, Comcast bill, Charter bill, AT&T, you know, all of it. It's going to be all of them.
So basically, the point of the story is, if you in America, if you don't watch politics, politics watches you.
Edward Snowden.
It's a little bit like, I don't know if anybody else from the 80s remembers Yakov Smirnov, but the whole in Russia jokes, it's now in America, and it's sad. In Russia, you don't watch TV. TV watches you. Well, in America, it's the same thing. Maybe we should go to our first break while you're looking for whatever it is you're looking for.
It's already affecting the internet connection. My internet is a fraction of the speed it used to be.
Go to break.
Go to break. Well, we do have a lot more to talk about today, so I don't want this to bore you. 256-737-9951. We will go to break. I will find the press release that I am looking for as soon as I figure out how to get back to the radio station controls from wherever I was. And we'll go ahead and tell you that you're listening to This Week Live right here on Coleman's Independent Radio Station. We are live, 95.
There's no music. Music.
That's hip.
That's better. Show prep. It's a wonderful thing.
Johnny's in America. Luke takes at the wheel. No one needs anyone. They don't even just pretend.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
ARN News Center, I'm Leah Brandon. A 14-year-old girl has been shot and killed in Birmingham over a fight on Facebook. Kirona Rice had been arguing with a group of girls over Facebook for a few weeks when they decided to meet at a park for a fight. After the girls started fighting, cops say two teenage males pulled out guns and started shooting at them. Her boyfriend tried to talk her out of going.
She said, I love you so much and I'm going to call you right back. But before I can get that call back from her, her mama was calling me, telling me she was gone.
Two other girls were shot and wounded. Cops say the two shooters are now in custody and have been charged with murder and assault. And the U.S. Geological Survey says West Alabama experienced its fourth earthquake since November. A 3.1 quake hit Friday afternoon about 10 miles from Utah. That same area saw a 3.8 on November 20th and a 3.4 on December 17th. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Jury selection resuming today for the capital murder trial of a woman charged with running her granddaughter to death for lying about eating a candy bar. Joyce Garrard of Boaz facing a possible death sentence if convicted. New poll results are out concerning UAB and UAB athletics. State Representative Jack Williams of Vestavia releasing the results today and says the poll targeted Central Alabama minus Tuscaloosa.
But this went from Pickens County to Cherokee, from Marion County to Talladega County, Coleman to Clanton.
One of the question, should UAB have a football team?
87%. 77% definitely agree, 9.3% somewhat. Only 4.5% disagreed that UAB should have football.
The poll overwhelmingly disapproving of the way President Ray Watts ended the football program. Williams will present the findings to the legislature. And Trayvon Martin's mother receiving an honor in Alabama. Sabrina Fulton honored in Huntsville for her work with the Trayvon Martin Foundation. Leah Brandon, ARN News. In money news, the stock market making healthy gains today. A number of corporate deals are contributing to the jump. The Commerce Department says consumer spending fell 0.2% in January. That drop follows a slightly larger drop in December. Also, a big drop in gas prices contributing to that decline, but should, in the long term, leave more money in consumers' pockets to spend on other goods. Construction spending has reversed its course. The Commerce Department says it fell 1.1% in January. That wipes out any gains that were made in December. Hewlett-Packard buying wireless networking company Aruba Networks for $2.7 billion. That's the biggest acquisition HP has made in years. And a big announcement from Google. They're going to try their hand at becoming a wireless provider. They announced they would take on U.S. carriers by selling their own wireless service and internet access to mobile users. Leah Brandon, ARN News. And in sports.
I knew within about two sets of corners when the race started that we were going to have an awesome day.
That was Jimmy Johnson after he took the checkered flag at Sunday's Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The six-time Sprint Cup Series champion pulled away on a late race restart to earn his fourth win at the track. Johnson said this win means a lot to him and his team.
This does a lot for us. You know, we feel really good about coming here and having this kind of showing. And I think what we did here, we can take to a lot of the racetracks. It takes pressure off in some ways. I mean, we don't have the questions of, are you going to win this year? So it's nice to dodge that, but you know, we'll have to win again probably in 6 to 8 weeks or else those questions will come around.
Kevin Harvick came in second while Johnson's teammate Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished third. Joey Logano captured a fourth-place finish just a week after winning the Daytona 500. Matt Kenseth completed the top five. The series now shifts to Las Vegas for the Cobalt 400 next Sunday. Andrea Tice, ARN Sports.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Cummins Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance agent.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
2:25, welcome back into This Week Live. And Jay Fuller alongside Melissa Sylvie, we are happy to be here with you. What a help that four-minute break was, I must tell you.
So are you ready now?
Well, I'm trying to figure out where I left off. So, you know, Obama releases this document that is secretly to the FCC.
No, he didn't release it.
Yeah, it was privately, just like the Obamacare bill thing. Okay, good point. Yeah, all right. And so the FCC Republican commissioners are having a cow about it. They're tweeting about it. They're giving you a couple of little tidbits about what are in it. A few people picked up on this. I'm going to guess mostly the cable companies and the larger companies who don't want to be regulated by it. You started to see a pretty good marketing campaign show up on Facebook and social media and things like that. Department of the Internet videos, etc., that are basically making it out to be horrible. You know, the Internet's going to be looking at everything that you do. In every way that you do it, and that's, you know, probably true, for lack of a better term. So there was a lot of hype going into the procedure, which, you know, they went through all of these review and order and things like that, and then the meeting date was established, and basically the meeting took place last week, and all five FCC commissioners spoke about it. On average, they spoke an hour to an hour and a half apiece, and I can remember about the time I finished my Subway sandwich up in St. Louis last, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it was. They took the vote, sure enough, right down the middle, 3 Democrat versus 2 Republican, and they passed this legislation. it's not legislation, I said that wrong. They passed this suggestion that basically President Obama sent them. It's not legislation, it's basically policy from the FCC. Now, again, none of this information was publicly released, so all you got were bits and pieces from Commissioner Pai. And then this is what I was looking for at the end of the last break. About 4 hours after the legislation, or I keep saying the legislation, 4 hours after the policy was passed, here's about a two-page press release on some of what's going to go on. And I'm going to read bits and pieces of it to you, and it'll give you an idea of what's coming down the pipe. But a lot of it is technobabble, so I'm going to try to translate it into English. But again, all 337 pages of this regulation, it has not been released. All we have is about this two-page press release. And they're sounding so powerful when they did this press release, too. I will put a link up for this on the station Facebook page at the end of the show. Washington, D.C., ending lingering uncertainty about the future of the open Internet, the Federal Communications Commission today set sustainable rules for the roads that will protect free expression and innovation on the Internet and promote investment in the nation's broadband networks. For the record, if you're a business and you're about to invest money, does uncertainty help you to invest money in something that's going on in the future? Yeah, probably not. The FCC has long been committed to protecting and promoting an internet that nurtures freedom of speech and expression, supports innovation and commerce, blah, blah, blah. Today, the commission once and for all enacts strong, sustainable rules grounded in multiple sources of legal authority to ensure that the Americans reap the economic, social, and civic benefits of an open internet today and into the future. These new rules are guided by three principles. America's broadband networks must be fast, fair, and open, principles shared by the overwhelming majority of nearly 4 million commenters who participated in the FCC's open internet proceeding. And FYI, also watched John Oliver's show on HBO on Saturday nights. So I'm gonna skip some of the history and just come on down to the bullet points on the second page. New rules to protect the open internet. While the FCC's 2010 open internet rules had limited applicability to mobile broadband, the new rules in their entirety would apply to fixed and mobile broadband networks alike, recognizing advances in technology and the growing significance of wireless broadband access in recent years. This order protects consumers no matter how they access the internet, whether on a desktop computer or a mobile device. So everything that I'm fixing to tell you, it applies to Comcast, it applies to Charter, it applies to Cyber Broadband, it applies to Verizon Wireless, it applies to AT&T Wireless, it applies to T-Mobile. No blocking. Broadband providers may not block access to legal content, applications, services, or non-harmful devices. Okay, that's not a bad thing. Basically what that does is, let's just say that Comcast, who probably also owns NBC Universal, cannot slow down or block Netflix or a competing Netflix service to favor their own content distribution service. So that's probably a good thing. No throttling. Broadband providers may not impair or degrade lawful internet traffic on the basis of content, application, services, or non-harmful devices. Okay, that's a horrible thing, and let me tell you why. A lot of services on the internet depend on prioritization and the throttling process. Voice over IP, yeah, it requires what's called quality of service. So, I mean, if they are outlawing quality of service, then, well, that's just totally stupid and a great example of a bureaucrat doing something he knows absolutely nothing about. If you are on a small-ish network, let's say that the network that you're on can only support, we're going to say, 3 gallons of water at a time, and they're trying to push 800 gallons of water through that 3-gallon water hose, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, Melissa?
It ain't going to work.
And that's basically what they're suggesting. Why do you think that Verizon Wireless and AT&T charge by the gigabyte? Why are they capping people that are not charged by the gigabyte to control your access? It is to prevent this very problem. Well, if the FCC is now telling them they can't do it, then that means essentially everybody on the network is going to have to get the exact same speed. Well, I guess if everyone on the 4G LTE wireless network can only get 256K, don't guess you'll have to worry about streaming anymore.
Well, you know, the only thing that I can say about this legislation is hopefully something out there is going to upset people enough to where they rebel against this administration.
Government did a great job spinning this. Everyone who paid any attention to this, who saw any coverage at all, which, by the way, was not on any of the news shows yesterday, we're getting free open internet. Woohoo!
Well, you know, they can say...
By the way, they already had free open internet.
They can say, you know, the... healthcare is great right now. Everybody's getting free healthcare. Your costs are going down, blah, blah, blah. They can say that until they're blue in the face. But people know what's happening in their own pocketbooks. And one of the things that our country has become dependent on as an escape from reality is their internet.
Mm-hmm.
So when their internet becomes politicized, when their internet is limited, when they have to pay more for their internet because somebody else is getting it for free, then this is going to hit them just like the healthcare. Now the government can say this is a great program all they want. But when it hits people in their pocketbook, when it hits people in their cheap recreation, then maybe people will understand this administration is not here to help.
I want to add on to what you're saying, but before I do, the third point, and this really was the direct line against Comcast, and they're wanting Netflix to pay more in order to deliver the content to Comcast above and beyond what other networks get, is no paid prioritization. This is another bullet point in what they passed. Broadband providers may not favor some lawful internet traffic over other lawful traffic in exchange for consideration of any kind. In other words, no, quote, fast lanes, unquote. This rule also bans ISPs from, there's that word again, prioritizing content and services of their affiliates. Well, if I can't prioritize voice over IP, I can't sell voice over IP, or it's not reliable. So, I mean, that's going to be a really questionable thing moving forward. Now, Melissa, I can skip through the rest of this because I'll put it online, but there's a lot to read, about 4 or 5 pages. But I have been following this, you know, closer than anything I probably have followed in the last couple of years. I have read all of the conspiracy theorists. Ooh, well, if they're going to reclassify broadband as a utility, well, guess how they regulate television? Well, television is regulated as a broadcast utility, and maybe if they regulate free speech, then they're going to start regulating free speech on the internet going backwards. And then all of a sudden, they'll be dealing with your post on Tumblr like they deal with a wardrobe malfunction on television. And that's horrible. I'm reading that. People are thinking that.
Well, why shouldn't they?
Well, I think it's a little over the top.
Well,
but that's me.
I mean, either way, this is going to put the government's fingers in people's lives. And whether people just sit back and allow it to continue to happen, or they take a stand and say no more, it'll be up to the people. Ultimately, all I can do is inform people. All you can do is inform people. It's ultimately up to the people to make up their own minds. And yes, you do have to contact your congressman. So another break, or?
Well, we could. The next item on my list is all of this Obama nonsense, you know, the comments from Rudy Giuliani talking about Obama not loving America, and how did the White House react to that? They created a hashtag and tweeted that Obama loves America.
Well, you know, that's their diplomacy. Hashtag diplomacy is our president's administration's diplomacy.
I mean, had it been me and I were in the White House, I would not have given it, like, the time of day. I mean, if you don't acknowledge something and you don't, like, embrace it and then create all of this additional chatter, then it basically goes away. But no, no, they have to defend against that, and I just don't think that was a very smart thing to do.
So isn't Obama the one who didn't put his hand over his heart during the Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah, I think I saw a video of that or something.
Isn't Obama the one? Well, we have a video. I don't know if you want to play it after the break.
Yeah, we can cue that up during the break.
Of the 12-year-old Georgia boy who defends Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting I didn't hear it all, but I guess we'll hear it when we get back from the break. Plenty of room for you guys to call in, too. We'd like to hear from you. Jump in. Tell us if you've heard anything about this net neutrality. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, we saw it live on TV when they passed Obamacare without knowing what was in it. Well, I'm just... That's my reaction on this. I mean, I was really hitting the roof last week. I was ready to come back and put a $4 charge on all of our bills to pay for the additional personnel that we're going to have to file all these regulations and all of this paperwork and, you know, just all of this nonsense. If you're treated like the phone company, which is how a utility operates, then that means that we'll have to start collecting basically subsidy money. You'll have to pay into a, quote, universal service fund, unquote, that will be put into a slush fund and redistributed for areas that don't have broadband. And generally, it has to be what's called a price cap carrier, which means one of the large phone companies, not the little guys like us, who will actually go out and get you broadband. So it's just all bad. I mean, everything about it is bad. We fought it. We've lost. But in all honesty, you know, we need to wait until the actual thing comes out to see how bad it is. And does that sound horribly bad? Yeah, it probably is.
So I would also like to for people to call in and let us know.
And tell me I'm wrong.
if you think Obama loves America.
Do we have to do that?
Yes. How you feel about Obama and America. Call if you think he loves America. Call if you don't think he loves America.
Okay, but you're only allowed one Obama show per quarter. I do not want this radio station and show to be all about Obama.
What's the phone number?
256-737-9951.
Lead into the break.
You got it. You're listening to This Week Live, or tuning us in, or tuning us out, or something. Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station. We'll be back in a minute.
James in America, no tricks at the wheel. Anyone, they don't even just pretend. Jonas in America.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. This is the music we love. This is Live 95 Music. This is Live 95 Music. If you like this,
the forests, we should swim in the streams, we should laugh, we should cry, we should love, we should dream.
And this. And this, then this is your radio station, Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net. You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama,
and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back to This Week Live. It's 2:42. Welcome to the Obama Hates America segment. Jay Fuller alongside Melissa Silvey. 256-737-9951 is the number. And we are harping on the FCC and the federal government. And just don't worry, the state's coming up next. And so is the city.
So this kid's name is, I believe, C.J. Pearson.
Yep, give us a little background of it.
He is, I've seen a couple of his videos now. I believe one of them he was preaching about marriage.
A little on the opinionated side.
Yeah, he's 12 years old.
Going to become a talk show host?
Either a talk show host or a minister, one or the other. I'm not sure. But this kid, just play the first few minutes of it. He does not like Barack Obama.
I think we can play all 3 minutes. It's only 3 minutes long.
Well, he starts to stutter in the middle, so.
Well, you just tell me when
he
to stop.
He starts to sputter in the middle.
All right, so what's his name again?
C.J. Pearson, I believe. So let me double check.
You can go Google this, and you probably find this video. Okay.
Hi, my name's C.J. Pearson, and today I wanted just to applaud Mayor Rudy Giuliani for his comments about President Barack Obama. Here's the truth of the matter. I don't want to be politically correct. I don't care about being politically correct at this point. President Obama, you don't love America. If you really did love America, you would call ISIS what it really is. An assault on Christianity, an assault on America, and a downright hate for the American values our country holds. Of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and every single thing that our country stands for. If you loved America, President Obama, if you loved America, you wouldn't try to take away what hardworking Americans have worked for their entire lives.
I love it.
You wouldn't do this if you loved the people of America.
All right, I think you can
stop it. And when it takes a mayor, the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, to call you out on your downright hatred for America.
Hatred.
And so be it.
Hatred of America.
I applaud him for his comments, and I definitely do hope that one day, other people will get enough guts to speak out against your downright hatred for this nation. When you aren't willing to defend our country against the evil of terrorism, domestic and abroad, you don't love our nation.
You don't love our nation.
So that's like about half of it. Now, while watching the caption of this, this is literally pulled from a Fox and Friends weekend clip.
No, it's a, he posted it to YouTube, and Fox and Friends pulled it off of the YouTube. I saw it on my Facebook feed because I'm friends with all of the conservative Facebook sites. But
no, really?
There's another video out there, and if you want to pull it up, I believe I've called it in my show prep. Let's see. Tulsi Gabbard on the radical Islam threat on the Kelly file.
Yeah, I'll call that up for you in a minute.
Basically, she says the same thing. She is one of two females who have commanded battalions during combat in Iraq, Afghanistan, and that sort of thing. She's very well-spoken, and she's a Democrat from Hawaii, and she doesn't call out Barack Obama by name like the 12-year-old C.J. Pearson does, but she gives him down the river for saying that he has not named radical Islam as our enemy. He keeps pussyfooting around it. That's my Let me go find out what's making that noise.
Is that your screensaver?
No. So, she basically calls out Barack Obama, not by name, for not naming ISIS as an enemy, for not naming radical Islam as an enemy. And the thing about it is, we had these recent Chapel Hill shootings, right? I had that as one of my topics for last week. And Jay wasn't here. But we've kind of gotten over the Chapel Hill shootings. We've kind of moved past that. They tried to make that out as a hate crime. They tried to make that out as the guy who shot those three Muslim students in North Carolina was a radical Muslim hater, ultra-right-wing conservative Christian. Well, the fact of the matter was, he was an ultra-left-wing atheist. So that didn't play out to the way that the media wants to portray somebody who has killed Muslims. So that was pretty much dropped. But then we go to these Christians, 23 Coptic Christians who were beheaded by ISIS.
Was that the scene that I kept seeing over and over again on the beach?
Yes. The administration...
I haven't heard much about that, so bring us up to date.
The administration did not call them Christians. Then we have the Paris shooting at the deli in Paris. Obama did not call that a hate crime against Jews. But if anything happens against Muslims, it's a hate crime. We have to protect Muslims. Muslims are protected. Why are Christians and Jews not given the same rights? Why is it when 23 Coptic Christians are beheaded by ISIS, why do we not call them Christians? The media has. The media has came out and said it. Why hasn't our administration?
One of the themes that I keep seeing over and over again is the portrayal of basically what Obama is calling them versus what everybody else is calling them. The whole deal about this is not a war against Islam. It's a war against radical Islam.
No, Obama hasn't even said that.
Well, I was seeing a lot of
coverage
on that.
Obama has not said the words radical Islam.
So what's he said?
Nothing. He hasn't named them anything except ISIS.
Why don't you hand this back to me?
I don't think that's the video that I wanted.
It's the video you had the link for. That's the page you had the link for on what you just commented on.
Okay. Well, then maybe we can play it.
There's two videos on that page. Are you talking about the actual Kelly file?
Yeah, the actual Kelly file is the... The actual Kelly file is the interview with the Hawaii congressman.
Well, that's what you want to play?
Yes.
All right. I think we can make that happen. 3 minutes of video again. Here we go.
To react, a combat veteran who was one of the first two females to be elected to U.S. Congress after serving in and leading a platoon in Iraq. Hawaii Democrat Tulsi Gabbard, a member of the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees, thank you, first of all, for being with us and for your service on multiple fronts, in the service and now on the Hill. You should maybe get some combat pay for what goes on up there as well. But let me ask you about this, because there are those who say we're not getting a united message from this administration about exactly what the threat is and exactly what we're going to do about it.
I think the bottom line here is that credible threats against the safety and security of the American people must be taken seriously. So if there is a credible threat, it must be let known to the American people not only what the threat is, but what they should be doing about it and what precautions need to be taken. If the threats are not credible, then they shouldn't be put out in a way that makes them look like they are. Really what I think is at the core here is that we can't be playing, neither party should be playing partisan politics with an issue that is as nonpartisan and is as important as the safety and security of the American people. So let's look at the situation that we are in right now, and that is that we have various Islamic extremist groups, whether they're called ISIS, whether they're called Al-Qaeda or Al-Shabaab, that are posing a threat, not only in the Middle East, but to people around the world. You look at the horrific attacks in Paris as a perfect example. So, again, if there are credible threats, they must be taken seriously and must be followed through on and prevented. But if not, let's stay focused on exactly who our enemy is and what we need to defeat them. Again, keeping at the forefront, keeping the American people safe.
But do you think we've gotten a clear message on that, on exactly what the threat is, who the threats are coming from, what we call them, how we identify them? You know that going into combat. I mean, you have to know who your enemy is and name it so you can defeat it.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And I think that's what's important as we look at some of these messages and some of these threats that are being posed by different groups, whether it's Boko Haram and a variety of others that go by different names. Just a few years ago, there were 20 plus groups who were fueled by this Islamic extremist ideology and conducting these terrorist attacks. Today, there are over 40. So by identifying the single common element amongst them and recognizing that the vast majority of terrorist attacks conducted around the world for over the last decade have been conducted by groups who are fueled by this radical Islamic ideology, then once that's identified, we understand it, then we can come up with a winning strategy to defeat it, both militarily as well as ideologically, and that's how we defeat them.
And really,
so again, let me just say, that was from the Fox News website. That was a Kelly File interview of Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat from Hawaii, who said, and I quote, almost all terrorist attacks in the last decade have been done by radical Islam. Why?
I think
can
it's
Obama,
hard to hard to deny that. I mean,
why can Obama and his groupies, cronies, whatever you want to call them, not come out and say that?
I don't know. Why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they? Well, I think that she was very well spoken. I think she got her point across, and I think if I lived in Hawaii, I might vote for her, even though she's got a D by her name. Because she seemed like she had some brains. I mean, she had some common sense. She had led a battalion in battle. What more could you ask for?
I am pleased to know that you can actually look at the qualities for people and choose one way or the other if you like them or not. Doesn't matter what letter they have by their name.
No, it really doesn't.
Going to a break again. We're through an hour of the show, not to mention the 5 minutes of stumbling we did at the beginning. 256-737-9951 to join in the conversation. You're listening to This Week Live, weekly public affairs show here on Live 95, and we'll be back again here in just a bit.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Leah Brandon. A 14-year-old girl has been shot and killed in Birmingham over a fight on Facebook. Kirona Rice had been arguing with a group of girls over Facebook for a few weeks when they decided to meet at a park for a fight. After the girls started fighting, cops say two teenage males pulled out guns and started shooting at them. Her boyfriend tried to talk her out of going.
She said, I love you so much and I'm going to call you right back. But before I can get that call back from her, her mama was calling me, telling me she was gone.
Two other girls were shot and wounded. Cops say the two shooters are now in custody and have been charged with murder and assault. In the U.S. Geological Survey says West Alabama experienced its fourth earthquake since November. A 3.1 quake hit Friday afternoon about 10 miles from Utah. That same area saw a 3.8 on November 20th and a 3.4 on December 17th. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Jury selection resuming today for the capital murder trial of a woman charged with running her granddaughter to death for lying about eating a candy bar. Joyce Garrard of Boaz facing a possible death sentence if convicted. New poll results are out concerning UAB and UAB athletics. State Representative Jack Williams of Vestavia releasing the results today and says the poll targeted Central Alabama minus Tuscaloosa.
But this went from Pickens County to Cherokee, from Marion County to Talladega County, Coleman to Clanton.
One of the question, should UAB have a football team?
87%
77% definitely agreed, 9.3% somewhat. Only 4.5% disagreed that UAB should have football.
The poll overwhelmingly disapproving of the way President Ray Watts ended the football program. Williams will present the findings to the legislature. And Trayvon Martin's mother receiving an honor in Alabama. Sabrina Fulton honored in Huntsville for her work with the Trayvon Martin Foundation. Leah Brandon, ARN News. In money news, the stock market making healthy gains today. A number of corporate deals are contributing to the jump. The Commerce Department says consumer spending fell 0.2% in January. That drop follows a slightly larger drop in December. Also, a big drop in gas prices contributing to that decline, but should, in the long term, leave more money in consumers' pockets to spend on other goods. Construction spending has reversed its course. The Commerce Department says it fell 1.1% in January. That wipes out any gains that were made in December. Hewlett-Packard buying wireless networking company Aruba Networks for $2.7 billion. That's the biggest acquisition HP has made in years. And a big announcement from Google. They're going to try their hand at becoming a wireless provider. They announced they would take on U.S. carriers by selling their own wireless service and internet access to mobile users. Leah Brandon, ARN News.
And in sports.
I knew within about two sets of corners when the race started that we were going to have an awesome day.
That was Jimmy Johnson after he took the checkered flag at Sunday's Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The six-time Sprint Cup Series champion pulled away on a late race restart to earn his fourth win at the track. Johnson said this win means a lot to him and his team.
This does a lot for us. We feel really good about coming here and having this kind of showing. And I think what we did here, we can take to a lot of the racetracks. It takes pressure off in some ways. We don't have the questions of, are you going to win this year? So it's nice to dodge that, but we'll have to win again probably in 6 to 8 weeks or else those questions will come around.
Kevin Harvick came in second while Johnson's teammate Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished third. Joey Logano captured a fourth place finish just a week after winning the Daytona 500. Matt Kenseth completed the top five. The series now shifts to Las Vegas for the Cobalt 400 next Sunday. Andrea Tice, ARN Sports.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM Cummins Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP. Coleman.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
3 o'clock. Your kids are ready to get out of school. Melissa Sylvie alongside Jay Fuller. You're listening to This Week Live on Live 95. Hi, Melissa.
Greetings.
You know, one thing that I've noticed about this show, and I'm probably going to harp on it a little bit later when we're off the air, but, you know, we talk about things in the city, we talk about things in the state, but the majority of the crap going down is in Washington. It's not that much local.
That's true. I know that you have a few local and state items that you would like to discuss.
We'll get to them.
But since I've been harping on President Obama, And I did have a little snippet about a Illinois congressman who went all insane over, I think it was, oh, I can't remember his name.
And I have a little snippet about the Missouri gubernatorial candidate who killed himself. Did you hear about that?
That has nothing to do with what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
The Illinois Democrat who went all crazy because one of the, I think it was Rick Perry, called Barack Obama, Barack Obama, and didn't call him President Barack Obama. The guy, like, totally lost his nuts.
Media's been calling him Mr. Obama for over a year.
I know, but this guy went insane because I believe it was
Tell
right
the guy
here.
To take his meds.
For real, right? Okay, so since we are discussing Barack Obama, and if you are the Illinois congressman, you can call me and complain about me calling him Barack Obama. I have 40 mind-blowing quotes from Barack Hussein Obama on Islam and Christianity, and I pulled these from AmericasFreedomFighters.com. So these are quotes attributed to Barack Obama. I won't say all of them. Number 10, I made clear that America is not and never will be at war with Islam. Number two, oh, number one, the future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. Number two, the sweetest sound I know is the Muslim call to prayer. Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. We will encourage more Americans to study in Muslim communities. Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace. In ancient times and in our times, Muslim communities have been at the forefront of innovation and education. And that's pretty funny because I have another quote from him that said, Obama says ISIS isn't a threat because they can't feed or educate their people. But, of course, Islam is at the forefront of education. Ramadan is a celebration of a faith known for great diversity and racial equality. I also know that Islam has always been a part of America's story. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation.
Really?
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
We don't?
That is enough, don't you think? Do we need to say any more Obama quotes to tell you how he feels about Christianity and Islam? He will never, I will bet you a dollar right now, he will never call ISIS radical Islam, and he will never come out and say that ISIS is fighting against Christianity or American values. And he will never promote Christianity, and he will always promote Islam. And if you like to discuss that with me, if you would like to challenge me, please call us. Jay, give them the number.
256-737 9951.
All right, Jay, I'm going to turn it over to you. I believe my head is boiling enough right now.
I am deeply depressed. I can't seem to find anything on social media today that I have posted for the last 2 weeks, but I had just a great soundbite to end your rant with. It was Obama saying over and over again he was going to be the most transparent government. You know which one I'm talking about, because you know I posted it last week, but of course now I can't find it.
Yeah, and the funny part about that is, Mr. Transparency, isn't this the second snippet that we've been told you have to pass it before you know what's in it?
Yeah.
It kind of makes you wonder what, Mr. Obama.
Yeah, Mr. Obama.
Do you need a dictionary to look up the meaning of the word transparent?
So switching to local news a little bit, because I wanted to limit how much Obama we could put on the show in one day. It's becoming more difficult to do, though. So in some of the local conversation just that I have been witnessing in various places across the local interwebs, couple of underground websites here in Coleman, Facebook comments, you know, one or the other, but a lot of chatter about the hospital here in Coleman, Coleman Regional Medical. Some of you may remember, it's been probably almost a decade ago now, but Coleman Regional purchased an ownership interest, or possibly bought outright, I believe they did buy it outright from another management company, the other local hospital that was down by where Walmart is located, known as Woodland Medical Center. Now, I had a family member who was in the hospital about 3 or 4 weeks ago due to a broken leg, rushed to surgery to get that leg fixed, and they did not have a hospital room available for her. I have heard on Facebook this week several rants of people who went to the emergency room and they were dramatically backed up and had hour-long waits. A person who worked for me, or works for me, who was currently on maternity leave, was trying to figure out when she was going to have her baby because there were no beds available in CRMC. Now, was that a smart thing to do? I mean, had we not bought the other hospital? By the way, CRMC, I believe, the county owns. They bought it from Baptist Medical not too long ago. So I believe CRMC is a county-owned hospital. Would that be an issue had they not bought and shut down the other hospital? Was that not a smart thing to do? Beginning to believe that it certainly was not a smart thing to do.
So does this have to do with Obamacare and the wait lines that we had heard were coming? And
I have no idea. Just passing along what I read on the interwebs.
All right.
You know, in talking about that, it's an interesting discussion. Not, you know, saying that I want to just go totally, you know, ripping and ranting on CRMC. I mean, I know people who work there. A lot of people enjoy their jobs and, you know, feel like it's a good place to work.
You know, I
know some people who don't enjoy working there but are just thankful to have jobs.
I have 3 children, and I don't believe any of them were scheduled. I believe babies come when they're going to come. I don't believe that you schedule them.
This particular person was going to have a C-section, and you do schedule those.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are a woman. You should know these things. 256-737-9951. The other interesting topic in the news, you know, we've talked on this show a lot about some of the good things that are happening around the city. You know, a lot of construction beginning to happen around the old Coleman Shopping Center. The public building appears to almost be up. There are more buildings popping up on the south end of town. Some speculation about what is going in behind Bojangles.
Dairy Queen.
The rumor that I've heard is Dairy Queen, a second location. So we'll see how that pans out. Again, 256-737-9951. If you'd like to add to the rumor mill, we can have a little rumor mill segment each week. It could be kind of interesting. Did y'all hear about, and I'd have to look up the details on this again. Is that my winter weather storm? Yep, my winter weather storm alert coming in on my phone. We'll get to that in a minute.
Wednesday.
So there was a bill or legislation or something that went through the law here in Alabama three or four years ago, and essentially opened the cities who have under 7,000 people to where they could vote to go wet if they wanted to. And somehow, some way, based on my reading of this, they excluded three counties out of Alabama's 67 counties from this legislation. And the Supreme Court came back last week. This is the Alabama Supreme Court, and overturned this ruling from 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 years ago. Said you can't discriminate, you can't exclude counties because that violates some other law or some other ordinance. And so therefore it's basically going back against all of those communities who used this law to vote themselves in for legal alcohol sales. So it's affecting small and medium-sized businesses. I don't think it's going to affect Coleman because we have more than 7,000 residents, I think. I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 19,000. Maybe we should invite economic development on one day to talk about that. But for those other smaller towns, Hanceville would probably be one of those smaller towns. I doubt there's 19,000 people in Hanceville. We don't know how that's going to play out. You know, they might be forced to stop selling legal alcohol. Who knows? Comments? You reading your special weather statement?
When you tell me about that, I assumed that the entire state was going to be dry again. But, I don't think you can exclude counties from a measure like that.
So was that like a Trojan horse that we put in it? Or don't you think the people who passed the law should have known that? I mean,
maybe they didn't read it.
Yeah, maybe. There's no need to read the laws.
Just pass it. We don't need to read it.
So here we go again. Repeat in the city of Coleman. Special weather statement from the National Weather Service. Significant winter storm will impact the region Wednesday night and Thursday. A strong cold front will move across southern Tennessee and northern Alabama on Wednesday. Widespread precipitation expected to continue for 24 hours following the passage of this front. Temperatures will fall rapidly. Rain will be expected to change to freezing rain across northwest Alabama and southern Tennessee by Wednesday night. Freezing rain will encompass the entire region by early Thursday morning with a gradual transition to sleet and eventually snow, which is expected to occur from the northwest to the southeast on Tuesday mornings. Now here's the scary part. Ice accumulations of 1/10 to around 3/10 of an inch are expected. I've actually heard forecasts that said more than that. Along with sleet and snow accumulations ranging from around 1/2 of an inch in the southeast to 2 inches in the northwest. In addition to the precip, you'll have winds that will create additional wind chill values and just other bad juju. So keep an eye out for that. We are still 3 days out from this. All of the meteorology guys will tell you that you can't predict anything this far ahead. But obviously, they're worried enough about it to say, go buy your bread and milk. Go buy your bread and milk. Go buy your bread and milk.
Of course.
Isn't that a Disney movie? Go buy your bread and milk?
No. That's Frozen.
Did they make a Disney song about bread and milk?
No.
They probably
Maybe
will.
Maybe they should have.
3:15, time for a break, or shall I move on to the next topic of discussion, which is Homeland Security.
Go ahead and break.
Okay. Again, if you happen to be listening to This Week Live, if you're amused by what we're saying, or if we've got you stirred up like we've stirred each other up, 256-737-9951, join in the conversation. I feel like I'm running a telethon here. You're listening to This Week Live right here on Coleman's Live 95. We'll be back in a minute. Or actually about 4 minutes, because we're going to play the news again.
Jonah's in America, no tricks at the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend. Jonah's in America.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Leah Brandon.
A 14-year-old girl has been shot and killed in Birmingham over a fight on Facebook. Kierona Rice had been arguing with a group of girls over Facebook for a few weeks when they decided to meet at a park for a fight. After the girls started fighting, cops say two teenage males pulled out guns and started shooting at them. Her boyfriend tried to talk her out of going.
She said, "I love you so much and I'm going to call you right back." But before I can get that call back from her, her mama was calling me, telling me she was gone.
Two other girls were shot and wounded. Cops say the two shooters are now in custody and have been charged with murder and assault. In the U.S. Geological Survey says West Alabama experienced its fourth earthquake since November. A 3.1 quake hit Friday afternoon about 10 miles from Utah. That same area saw a 3.8 on November 20th and a 3.4 on December 17th. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Jury selection resuming today for the capital murder trial of a woman charged with running her granddaughter to death for lying about eating a candy bar. Joyce Garrard of Boaz facing a possible death sentence if convicted. New poll results are out concerning UAB and UAB athletics. State Representative Jack Williams of Vestavia releasing the results today and says the poll targeted Central Alabama minus Tuscaloosa.
But this went from Pickens County to Cherokee, from Marion County to Talladega County, Coleman to Clinton.
One of the question, should UAB have a football team?
87%. 77% definitely agree, 9.3 somewhat. Only 4.5% disagreed that UAB should have football.
The poll overwhelmingly disapproving of the way President Ray Watts ended the football program. Williams will present the findings to the legislature. And Trayvon Martin's mother receiving an honor in Alabama. Sabrina Fulton honored in Huntsville for her work with the Trayvon Martin Foundation. Leah Brandon, ARN News. In money news, the stock market making healthy gains today. A number of corporate deals are contributing to the jump. The Commerce Department says consumer spending fell 0.2% in January. That drop follows a slightly larger drop in December. Also, a big drop in gas prices contributing to that decline, but should, in the long term, leave more money in consumers' pockets to spend on other goods. Construction spending has reversed its course. The Commerce Department says it fell 1.1% in January. That wipes out any gains that were made in December. Hewlett-Packard buying wireless networking company Aruba Networks for $2.7 billion. That's the biggest acquisition HP has made in years. And a big announcement from Google. They're going to try their hand at becoming a wireless provider. They announced they would take on U.S. carriers by selling their own wireless service and internet access to mobile users. Leah Brandon, ARN News. And in sports.
I knew within about two sets of corners when the race started that we were going to have an awesome day.
That was Jimmy Johnson after he took the checkered flag at Sunday's Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The six-time Sprint Cup Series champion pulled away on a late race restart to earn his fourth win at the track. Johnson said this win means a lot to him and his team.
This does a lot for us. You know, we feel really good about coming here and having this kind of showing. And I think what we did here, we can take to a lot of the racetracks. It takes pressure off in some ways. I mean, we don't have the questions of, are you going to win this year? So it's nice to dodge that, but you know, we'll have to win again probably in 6 to 8 weeks or else those questions will come around.
Kevin Harvick came in second while Johnson's teammate Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished third. Joey Logano captured a fourth-place finish just a week after winning the Daytona 500. Matt Kenseth completed the top five. The series now shifts to Las Vegas for the Cobalt 400 next Sunday. Andrea Tice, ARN Sports.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
We've come a long way, baby. How you doing? This is Live 95. We're almost, just almost a year old. Isn't
and
that cool?
Do we have something planned for
Yeah, we're working on it. We're hoping it's going to be a big deal. Stay tuned. Stay tuned to our Facebook page, that wonderful show they were just talking about known as Sports Talk Live. Our show, This Week Live.
Maybe next week on This Week Live, we will have the big announcement if we can get it all worked out.
Yeah, we've got some pretty cool ideas. We want to celebrate our one-year anniversary with a big bang, and it is not a theory. Made that kind of roll out, didn't I? And no, it has nothing to do with stand-up comedy. Close, but not quite. So, it's 3:20. And one of the things that we like to do every now and then on this show is dig into the stock market a little bit and how the economy is doing, how, you know, unemployment is doing, because we all know Obama won't lie to you when he talks about that.
According to the CEO of Gallup, who puts out Gallup polls, he has lied.
Imagine that. So, honestly, I mean, I dabble in the stock market a little bit. I put a little bit of money in. I've made a little bit of money back. And I mean, from a just an outsider view looking in, the market is doing pretty well. Just to give you a rundown, so one of the main I never can pick the right word. One of the main indicators, you know, they take the temperature of the market. They always look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Right now, today, it closed up 155 points, 155.93. The value is 18,288. Now, the 52-week high, well, I guess what that is, Melissa? 18,288.63. Today was another record of another 52-week high. So the Dow,
awesome.
The Dow is up, up, up. And they're talking about that with the NASDAQ, too. I don't really want to look at that too directly, but, I mean, just a couple of stocks that I have followed, I own a little bit of, for example. You know, Apple has been a pretty hot stock. You know, lots of people own Apple stuff. There's plenty of Apple stores. Some people are just pretty happy with Apple. Apple today closed down a whopping 9 cents. No, I take that back. That's after hours trading. It closed up today a whopping 63 cents. Closing value is 129.09. So if you own one share of Apple stock, it is worth $129.09. 52-week high? 133.60. So it's pretty near the top. Just to give you an idea of where we have been over the last year, its 52-week low was $73.05. Now, I also have to give you a little disclaimer. That was not actually the low. What happened was Apple had gotten all the way up over 400 and had a 4-to-1 split. So if you owned one share of Apple at, like, let's just say $463 and it had a 4-to-1 split, then you take the $463 and you divide that by 4. I'm not that good, but I have a calculator right here. Then all of a sudden you would have had 4 shares at $115.75 apiece. That's called a stock split. And that's what happened when Apple came down to 73. So it didn't actually fall that low. That's just the value of the stock once the stock split. Some other popular stocks, for example, UPS, trading right now at $101.93. This 52-week high, $102.37. So you're beginning to see a trend here. A lot of these stocks are at or very near their 52-week highs. I keep wanting to say their all-time highs. I don't think that's entirely true. An exception to that rule some of the wireless carriers. For example, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Looking at AT&T right now, it's $34.64 as of the close, but it's 52-week high, $37.48. Some of the rumor that I've heard on that is T-Mobile entering the market. T-Mobile just having a field day with their, cut your bills in half, et cetera, et cetera. And they have put enough pressure on AT&T Verizon that they're actually admitting, hey, you know, our earnings are going to be down a little bit because there's a lot of competition going on here. And, I mean, to me, that's kind of like a mosquito bite because, I mean, if you live in Coleman, you probably don't have a T-Mobile phone because there's no T-Mobile service here. Or if there is, it's very little.
Right.
But that's enough of a mosquito bite, you know, for the big guys to stop for a moment and scratch. Facebook. Now, I have to admit, I did exceptionally well on this. I bought it pretty near after the IPO. Today closed at $79.75. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that stock is almost worth $80. 52-week high, $82.17. So that one's probably got a little more room left to run, too. Another big topic in the markets is Netflix. Netflix had fallen quite a bit over the last, we'll say, quarter to half a year. I remember it was down as low as probably 360. I'll pull that report real quick and see exactly where it fell. 52-week low was $299.50. It has gained so much lately that its 52-week high is $489.29. Today, it closed at $480.25. A lot of hype behind Netflix. Why is that? One of their most popular series that is only found on Netflix, House of Cards, came out this week. So they are expecting season 3, rather, of House of Cards came out this week. They are expecting quite a large addition of subscribers in order to watch the new season of that. Another real high popular stock is Disney. Now, Melissa, why would Disney be a really hot-to-own stock right now? I mean, Disney's got nothing going for them.
Really?
And Star Wars movies coming down the line, Frozen, you know, people...
I think Frozen 2 is actually in the works as well.
People running around singing Frozen. The only time that I have really seen Disney dip recently was the Ebola scare. And that barely even grazed the surface.
Measles isn't even affecting them.
$105.89 today, 52-week high, $105.98. I mean, really. If you look at the stock market and you look at these various indicators that I have just gone over, let me give you one more example. Home Depot, you know, they keep talking about construction. Is construction doing well, et cetera, et cetera? Trading.
Isn't the lady on the news that we... subscribe to, didn't she say it was down again 1.1%?
The lady on the news that we subscribe to. Oh, yeah.
They are in news.
Yeah. Lowe's was not. It was up 1.19% today. It was up. 52-week high for Home Depot, which is what I'm referring to. I'm sorry, not Lowe's. 52-week high, 119.72, closed today at 116.02. I track Lowe's as well. Lowe's had a good day, though, as well. Was up a dollar. Lowe's closed at $75.09, and their 52-week high was $75.98. So, I mean, if you look at all of these stocks that I just went over, you look at, you know, the various indicators, you know, there's a lot of improvement in the stock market. Consumer confidence, although I heard over the weekend, had eroded a little bit. It's not showing up in any of these stock market reports. Is that because all these companies are making a lot more dollars or a lot more profitable? Perhaps.
So, didn't I talk about that 2 weeks ago when we were live and I said consumer confidence was down and you were like, oh, no, it's way
look
up.
At,
right
look at the numbers. I mean, these companies are all near the very tops of their 52-week highs. I mean, what else are you going to say? So they're making money hand over fist.
So, let's talk about...
The only downside to that discussion, and it's not really a downside, consumers on average had $1,000 in their wallet more because of lower gas prices, and some of that may start to erode, although probably not that fast. Okay, rebut.
How does the stock market tie to unemployment numbers? Or
the unemployed are probably not buying stock. That's how...
or any of the United States of America's stats, such as the gross domestic product, the debt, any of that. The stock market can be great, but it does not reflect anything at all that is happening in the government.
Don't fully agree.
Well, rebut.
When the economy tanked in 2007, guess what? So did the stock market. When the economy tanked in 1929, guess what? So did the stock market.
So are you saying that the government's economy tanked in 2007? Or are you saying that
it's not the government's economy, it's the country's economy.
So how does the GDP?
If you were in Russia, it would have been the country's economy. But this is the United States. We're capitalistic.
Exactly.
It's the country's
That's
economy.
That's what you just agreed with what I said.
The government doesn't run the economy.
Exactly. So how does the stock market reflect anything at all? The GDP, the debt, or unemployment numbers?
The stock market is a barometer of how well America's companies are doing.
But not America's government.
That's correct. It's a barometer of how the companies are doing. And it's like Mr. Fuller, CEO guy, keeps reminding you, the government does not run my life. They don't.
So how is it that when the stock market is great, everybody's saying Obama is a god because the stock market is high?
I didn't say Obama was a god because the stock market was high.
Neither
I said the economy is doing well.
Do have anything to do with the other?
There are overtones and oversight coming from the government. For example, you will probably see less investment in broadband networks because the FCC is making the future of that uncertain. And you have other regulations and things like the EPA coming from the government that make it more difficult to conduct business. But it does not directly control any of these companies' lives.
So, and the these companies are only a reflection of how capitalism is doing well in the United States. It has nothing at all to do with how the government is doing as a whole.
No, but if you're a Jane consumer and you're saving up to $1,000 a month because you don't have to put so much gas in your minivan, that means that you can go to Walmart and spend more money. That means you can go to Target and spend more money. That means that you can go to Costco and spend more money. That means you can go redecorate your kitchen because you have an extra $1,000 in your pocketbook. Guess what? Those companies get more profit because you spent more money with them. Therefore, their stock price goes higher. True or false? Gotcha.
But how does that win? How does that tie to unemployment? Are they spending these extra profits to hire more people? No.
That's correct. And I think technology has a large reason to do with that.
Let's put in 10 more self-checkout lanes
instead of hiring 10 more Mama Joes to check people out.
Does it have anything to do with the debt, which is going up? No.
Yes, because the companies make more money, therefore they have to pay more taxes, therefore the debt goes down at a slightly higher rate.
Does the barometer of the stock market have anything at all to do with the government as a whole? No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, then I win.
How'd you win? I lost that.
You did lose that.
Yeah, I don't think you're talking to me. You must be talking to some other guy.
Go to a break.
You know, you people out there in the great listening masses, you can join in too. 256-737-9951. Again, this is a public affairs program we do each and every week. We talk a little bit about the government, a little bit about the local government, a little bit about the state government.
This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
That's the wrong one.
This is the music we love.
Anyway, we're going to regroup, and we'll come back and pick up on this in just a minute. You're listening to This Week Live, Coleman's Independent Radio Station, Live 95.
Johnny's in America, no tricks at the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend. In America,
afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama.
Hello, Coleman. My name is Jason Spiegel, and along with my co-host, Ronnie Barnes, we want to extend a special invitation to join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Sports Talk Live.
Each Tuesday, we will announce the People's Bank Player of the Week, as well as discuss the past week top high school and college games.
Don't miss Thursdays when we welcome regular guest Greg Smith with OnlyBestBets.com at 4:25 p.m. and Greg Vosta with Campus Insider at 4:45 p.m.
Once again, please join us each Tuesday and Thursday from 4 until 6 for Sports Talk Live right here on 95.5 Live 95 WRJM Coleman's Independent Radio.
Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Ayers Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week, and our other fabulous sponsors, such as Cynthia Phillips, your Alpha Insurance Agent, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, and Tommy Warhurst at the Warhurst Agency, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Coleman, within the state of Alabama, and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
So welcome back. It is 3:38. Got about 20 minutes left in the show. Your opinion, as always, welcome. 256-737-9951. Don't be too afraid of the microwave transmitter. It's not too powerful. So we were discussing the government and how great and wonderful it was, and that brings me to the debate going on between the Republicans and the Democrats and Homeland Security. So it's my understanding that the Republicans pretty much passed the budget with the exception of Homeland Security. Homeland Security is being tied to defunding, and you correct me if I'm wrong, the president's immigration executive order. Is that right?
Yes.
So they decided that they're making some progress on that. So I'll tell you what, why don't we extend the funding for Homeland Security by a whopping 1 week?
Yeah, I read that.
One whopping week. Talk about kicking the can down the field. Melissa, how many people does the Department of Homeland Security employ?
I don't know. How many?
Take a guess.
A lot.
I think a lot is an understatement. Imagine what unemployment in this country would be without the Department of Homeland Security. Per their website, they employ at least 240,000 people.
Oh, really? Is that all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I heard that last night on your news shows.
I actually had to look it up because the old figure that I had, like, you had Wikipedia with one figure, which you know Wikipedia is updated pretty regularly, and that figure was like lower, and then I went to the actual website, and the actual website said that they employ, and they broke it down, and I didn't write down the breakdown, but it was something like 140,000 actual employees and 100,000 contractors or something.
Really? So are those contractors, do they do like wet work, or?
They probably run network cable through large airports or something, I don't know.
So, or are they listening to phone calls? What are they doing?
Funny person.
So, if the Department of Homeland Security funding runs out or is not extended, basically they had the, I think this is Fox News actually, had the administrator or Department of Homeland Security chairperson or whatever his name is, and those people will still have to come to work just because they're not allowed to have funding anymore. They are furloughed, which basically means you still get to come work, and you get to work for free, and you might get a paycheck eventually. You probably will get a paycheck eventually, but there's no guarantee when you'll get it. But you still need to work anyway. And actually, if you hang out in the state of Alabama a little bit and talk to any of the people who work in Huntsville, like at NASA, they're quite used to this because they got to do this last year.
So I believe that the Republicans need to do whatever they can to stop Obama's executive action. Whether it's to shut down Department of Homeland Security, so be it.
Yeah, and you and I got into this like week before last when we were actually here instead of our repeat show last week. I think that it's necessary. Now, I know that, you know, bad things happened before this department was created. Bad things could happen again. You think that it's all overhead and red tape and basically, you know, violating our privacy rights, and it probably is. But as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have only had one attack on the U.S. soil since the Department of Homeland Security was created, and that happened in Boston, Massachusetts, 2 years ago.
There were some that came close.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Not for the Homeland Security Department, they might have happened.
Well...
Ooh, made you stop and think there, didn't I?
We have always had the FBI. We have always had the CIA.
Yeah,
this
is just another... There was no need for them to talk to each other, though.
This is just another bureaucracy to spend money on. It's just like every other Washington bureaucracy.
But look how much it's helped unemployment. I mean, you've got 240,000 people with jobs now that I'm paying for personally.
Exactly.
Woohoo. Yeah. Beat that one to a dead horse. Shall I move on?
You know what?
What?
If the government hired everyone in the United States,
we would be a socialist country.
No unemployment, would we?
We would be a socialist country.
Who would pay for those jobs?
I've never figured that out. I guess all of us would.
If everybody got a $3,000 check from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Who would pay for that?
But if everyone got a $3,000 check from the government, what incentive would you have to work any harder than I work? What incentive would anyone have to work any harder than anyone else?
That's why.
What incentive would the supermarket have to create bread and milk for snow?
That's why communism is bad.
Well,
if you
talk to Castro and the Cubans, they seem to be happy with it.
Really? Are they happy with it?
They've been there for the last 60 years. Probably not by choice.
But. Okay, speak to the Cubans who left Cuba to come to America.
Oh, yeah. There's a group there in Miami.
It's if socialism worked.
I'm sure there's people out there who think it does.
The USSR would still be in existence. If socialism worked, China would not be one of the biggest capitalist countries in the world.
Hmm. Got a good point there. Shall we move on?
So, did you hear the story about the class and the teacher wanted to teach them about socialism and everybody would get an average grade in the class? So that people who did well, who got A's after the first test and got a C in their grade, gave up and stopped studying. So everybody failed.
No, I heard about your political science class or whatever, where everyone got a couple of points because nobody scored a perfect grade.
No.
No.
Where did you get that idea?
You told me a couple of your classes.
At Wallace.
Oh, yeah, well. Is Bill O'Reilly as guilty as Brian Williams is?
But you know what? Just to go back to that,
Is Bill O'Reilly as guilty as Brian
at
Williams?
Wallace, I was generally
Is
the
Bill
person.
O'Reilly as guilty as Brian Williams?
He scored the highest grade, and I still would have thought, I still strive to get a 100.
It's amazing. I can see the glow coming off of you in that yellow shirt.
So I didn't try to do worse so that everybody else would get points. Hmm. I still strive to get a 100 so that nobody else could get the extra points. That's the kind of person that I am.
So, meanwhile, back at the This Week Live show, is Bill O'Reilly as guilty as Brian Williams is?
God, no.
Why?
They both lied on air. Oh, no.
So, did you not watch the same thing that I watched?
Well, sure
where
I did.
The New York Times even said that Bill O'Reilly didn't lie?
I'm baiting you.
Bill O'Reilly didn't lie.
He just misspoke, right?
Did he misspeak?
I don't know, did he?
He was sent to Argentina.
Some big crazy guy insisted he did.
Well, you know what? That's the problem with this country. We're giving too much credence to crazy
And I said
people.
This about Bill Cosby. And all of these loons who were just coming out of the woodwork from like 20 years ago. And guess what? One of them spoke, and then all these other people started speaking up. I wonder how much money he's got left.
Well, apparently they weren't loons. Apparently it really did happen.
Why didn't they say it 20 years ago?
I can't answer that.
I can't either. Why didn't they say this about Brian Williams 20 years ago? Why didn't they say this about Bill O'Reilly 20 years ago? What's going on?
I can't answer that.
What's going on? Conspiracy? Maybe they're just too popular. Maybe some people are jealous of them, you think?
Or maybe he really did misspeak.
Maybe.
Brian Williams.
So, your turn or time for another break?
Time for another break, I guess.
I mean, I've got a few other topics here, but
well,
you know,
go
I didn't.
For it.
I didn't want to like monopolize the show or anything.
Go for it.
Municipal broadband. So,
haven't we already beat the broadband horse?
Now we built the net neutrality horse, but they also voted on a. It's not a legislation. I don't know what you call it, but basically a policy update that overturns the state's rights to forbid municipal cities from building broadband networks. Okay, so your company that provides fiber optic cable, I'm just going to make one up, your TechLinks Incorporated of Birmingham, and you provide fiber optic services to businesses, and all of a sudden, Birmingham, Alabama decides that Birmingham, Alabama is unserved and that TechLinks is not doing a good enough job. And so Birmingham, Alabama is going to build their own municipal fiber network in Birmingham, which competes directly with TechLinks. This happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and is getting a lot of attention nationwide. This happened in Utah. There was a private-public partnership there by the name of Utopia, who I believe wound up actually being publicly funded the same way you would publicly fund, a dam or, you know, something along those lines with bonds and things.
Okay, so they raised bonds, they sold bonds, and they raised money, and then they put in their own high-speed internet.
So is it right for the government to go into direct competition against a private company? And let me give you some more facts to think about. Who owns the government? Who funds the government?
You do.
That's correct. How do you feel about your tax dollars being used for something that you didn't approve of that a private company was already funding before you got involved? Is that not a waste of money?
I think everything the government does is a waste of money.
No, it's not true. If you didn't have the government, you wouldn't have the interstate highway system. Or would you? Would it have been privately built?
Would it? With toll booths?
Well, it wasn't privately built before Eisenhower built it. Actually, it was part of the recovery, was it not?
The New Deal?
The people who didn't have jobs after the Great Recession, Great Depression, that's how the interstate got funded and built. And you know, that was probably not a bad idea back then. Think of how many people it put to work that were funded by the government. But
we're speaking in circles now, aren't we?
But that was a good thing. I mean, we are all getting benefit from that. We all use it. and we all have to pay taxes on it, partially when we put gas in our gas tanks. So is that what they should do with the internet? Should the government build a large fiber optic network and then just charge you internet taxes for everything you do on the internet?
Wow.
Pandora's box.
No.
Does the interstate highway system work or not?
Yes.
You know, I had to spend an entire week to come up with one thing the government got right.
It was hard work.
I'm telling you.
Good job.
What did I do last week? I drove like 1,800 miles on the interstate.
And you were like, well, this is something that they got
Look at all these pretty signs. I paid for those. All right, take a break. You're listening to This Week Live. You've got about 10 minutes to comment. 256-737-9951. As always, This Week Live, Sports Talk Live, and Friday Night Live, when it's in season, are available on our website, live95coleman.com. You can stream us live on the TuneIn app as well. We'll be back in a few minutes to wrap it up. In the meantime, if you've liked what you've heard today, tune in each and every Monday from 2 to 4 o'clock. We'll try to entertain you some more. Jay Fuller, Melissa Sylvie, we'll be back in a minute.
I'm
afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Leah Brandon. A 14-year-old girl has been shot and killed in Birmingham over a fight on Facebook. Kirona Rice had been arguing with a group of girls over Facebook for a few weeks when they decided to meet at a park for a fight. After the girls started fighting, cops say two teenage males pulled out guns and started shooting at them. Her boyfriend tried to talk her out of going.
She said, I love you so much and I'm going to call you right back. But before I can get that call back from her, her mama was calling me, telling me she was gone.
Two other girls were shot and wounded. Cops say the two shooters are now in custody and have been charged with murder and assault. And the U.S. Geological Survey says West Alabama experienced its fourth earthquake since November. A 3.1 quake hit Friday afternoon about 10 miles from Utah. That same area saw a 3.8 on November 20th and a 3.4 on December 17th. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Jury selection resuming today for the capital murder trial of a woman charged with running her granddaughter to death for lying about eating a candy bar. Joyce Garrard of Boaz facing a possible death sentence if convicted. New poll results are out concerning UAB and UAB athletics. State Representative Jack Williams of Vestavia releasing the results today and says the poll targeted Central Alabama minus Tuscaloosa.
But this went from Pickens County to Cherokee, from Marion County to Talladega County, Coleman to Clinton.
One of the question, should UAB have a football team?
87%. 77% definitely agree, 9.3 somewhat. Only 4.5% disagreed that UAB should have football.
The poll overwhelmingly disapproving of the way President Ray Watts ended the football program. Williams will present the findings to the legislature. And Trayvon Martin's mother receiving an honor in Alabama. Sabrina Fulton honored in Huntsville for her work with the Trayvon Martin Foundation. Leah Brandon, ARN News. In money news, the stock market making healthy gains today. A number of corporate deals are contributing to the jump. The Commerce Department says consumer spending fell 0.2% in January. That drop follows a slightly larger drop in December. Also, a big drop in gas prices contributing to that decline, but should, in the long term, leave more money in consumers' pockets to spend on other goods. Construction spending has reversed its course. The Commerce Department says it fell 1.1% in January. That wipes out any gains that were made in December. Hewlett-Packard buying acquiring wireless networking company Aruba Networks for $2.7 billion. That's the biggest acquisition HP has made in years. And a big announcement from Google. They're going to try their hand at becoming a wireless provider. They announced they would take on U.S. carriers by selling their own wireless service and internet access to mobile users. Leah Brandon, ARN News.
And in sports.
I knew within about two sets of corners when the race started that we were going to have an awesome day.
That was Jimmy Johnson after he took the checkered flag at Sunday's Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The six-time Sprint Cup Series champion pulled away on a late race restart to earn his fourth win at the track. Johnson said this win means a lot to him and his team.
This does a lot for us. You know, we feel really good about coming here and having this kind of showing. And I think what we did here, we can take to a lot of the racetracks. It takes pressure off in some ways. I mean, we don't have the questions of, are you going to win this year? So it's nice to dodge that, but you know, we'll have to win again probably in 6 to 8 weeks or else those questions will come around.
Kevin Harvick came in second while Johnson's teammate Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished third. Joey Logano captured a fourth place finish just a week after winning the Daytona 500. Matt Kenseth completed the top five. The series now shifts to Las Vegas for the Cobalt 400 next Sunday. Andrea Tice, ARN Sports.
You're listening to This Week Live, a public affairs program airing here on Live 95. This program focuses on activities taking place in the city of Cullman within the state of Alabama and across the branches of the federal government up in Washington. Information presented on this show comes from a variety of sources, and although the hosts have attempted to individually validate each story for its authenticity, you should also attempt to validate each story yourself. Opinions presented on this show may or may not be the opinions of the owners, management, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back to This Week Live 357, and we are wrapping it up for another week.
Yay!
So some big news, Live 95, your local independent radio station. We are almost a year old. We are putting together some big plans to celebrate being 1 year old. And here are some of the ideas that we have as we just jump right into Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, we'll save that for after the show's over. We are looking at having basically a celebratory birthday party. We are looking for a venue. We have one in mind. The venue needs to have a stage, needs to have a sound system. We are interested in contacting a lot of the bands who perform at a lot of the shows in the area. For example,
actually, we are interested in them contacting us at studio at live95coleman.com.
I was going to get to that. But we want to have basically a battle of the bands. We want bands new and old, the same bands that play at the Strawberry Fest and Oktoberfest and Celebrate Cullman, you know, the local bands that are here, and they don't even have to be local. They could be all the way up to Huntsville or just anywhere nearby. But we would like to set up an event where they come and they play for an entire day, and basically we have an America's Got Talent in Cullman. We're going to rate the bands, get people involved. The current thinking is we will coordinate with the sound people and actually put the entire show live on the air. And we're still working on some details on that. So as we get all of that worked out, we would like to take your advice as well. If you have ideas to throw into the hopper, especially if you know band members and you know they would certainly be interested in participating in this, we want to hear about it. Like Melissa said, studio at live95coleman.com. Send them to our Facebook page. You can go to Google and search for live95coleman.com. That will get you to our website and our Facebook page. What did I leave out?
We'd like to feature the winning band on the radio and, you know, talk about them and play some of their music and basically tell people where they will be playing and where they can purchase their music.
Yep. We just think it would be a really awesome thing. I mean, I know, and I make fun of this all the time, you know, Rock the South comes to Cullman, it's a big deal. It's got lots of, you know, traction, and I like to call it Serenade the South because it's all country bands. It's not really rock. There are some really good...
Serenade has nothing to do with...
But there are some really good bands in Cullman. You and I have seen them. We've enjoyed their shows, and we'd like to give them some more publicity. So we're going to try to make that part of our one-year anniversary and our one-year birthday party. And just have a whole day of live bands. It's going to be a little bit of a fundraiser for the station, too, whichever venue hosts it. You know, hopefully they'll be able to make a little off of it. We want to make a little bit of money for the station and put the whole event live on the air. and just make a big deal out of it. So that's our plan. We'd like to hear from you on it, and if we don't hear from you on it, we're probably going to go out and figure out a way to do it anyway. So that's our idea.
Yep, sounds like fun.
So until next week, this has been This Week Live. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station, WRJMLP Coleman. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
And here's that Lenny Kravitz we started for you a minute ago.